Sorry. We're ready to begin. Do we have a quorum?
Madam Chair, Commissioners Given and Edmonds are absent for work schedule conflict and medical reasons. And with that, you have six members currently present. You do have a quorum. Thank you.
Okay. So we will begin. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda and minutes?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
All right. So the agenda, any discussion? All right. All those in favor of approving the agenda and the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
All those against? All right. The agenda and the minutes have been approved. At this time, we generally allow a few moments for public comments, and it doesn't look like we have any, so we are going to just move right into our discussion item, which is the Tacoma Dome link extension update. And it looks like we're going to get a review of the status of the project, and the action that is being asked of the commission is some feedback from us. So I will now turn it over to staff.
Well, thank you for having us. My name is Andrew Austin. I'm the South Corridor Government and Community Relations Manager. So what we're going to do today is orient you into where we're at with the Tacoma Dome Link Extension Project, kind of in the planning process through the environmental impact statement. And then we're going to review the decisions the board made, because it's been a while since we spoke to you all. And then most importantly, we're going to talk about some principles we've been working on, in particular in the Tacoma Dome area, as we do refinements for station design, and ask for feedback on those principles. And then we'll be come back to this commission in a few weeks with some more details, which we'll explain more at the end. So just before we do that, just as a, I think, actually, did you want to take it from here? Okay, so I'm going to turn it over to Kirby, who's our project director.
Okay, good evening. Again, I'm Kirby Hawkins. I think the last time we were here was in March of this year, and at that point, we were at a pretty critical point of time. We were coming to you to present some information to get interest and involvement in an upcoming scoping period that we were having. So we presented. It was part of a joint presentation with the Transportation Commission as well. And we received communication from you. We went through a scoping period, and we presented information to our board. And as Andrew mentioned, the board took action in July. So really what we're here to do is we're just going to update you on where we currently stand on that project. And as Andrew mentioned, we'll be back to provide even more detail later as well. So with that being said, we'd like to remind everyone the project, what the project is. We know that you work on a lot of different things, and you don't work on this every day like Sound Transit staff does. So let's kind of start from the beginning. This is the Tacoma Dome Link Extension Project. So this is regional regional light rail, that will extend light rail service from Federal Way to Tacoma. Four stations, as a reminder, in South Federal Way, 5 East Tacoma, and at the Tacoma Dome. And our timeline is for the service to be up and running in 2030. So this is our timeline. Just a reminder, we're in the planning phase of our effort. So we've gone through alternatives development. We are currently in our environmental assessment phase. We're working on a DEIS at this particular time. We will be working through the environmental process through 2022, after which we'll be in our design effort for a few years, and then construction will start in 2025, leading to the start of service in 2030. So zooming in a little more on our environmental process, as I mentioned, we held our scoping period earlier in this year in spring. Our board identified a what we call a preferred alternative and other alternatives to study in the EIS. That was done in July, and we'll talk more detail about that in a moment. Our goal is by spring of 2021, we will be complete with the draft EIS effort, and we will bring that out for public comment. I think that would be a great opportunity, again, to hear from the commission as well. We will seek the public comment on that document as well. So that's what we're undertaking at this particular time. And then the final EIS is in mid-2022, and then after which our board will select the project to be built. This is a federal project, so this is a NEPA process, so we're working closely with the Federal Transit Administration. They are actually the federal lead on this project, so the Federal Transit Administration will issue a record of decision. So going into more detail of what the Sound Transit Board of Directors identified as the preferred alternative in the alternatives to go forward, you have this, I believe, as your handout, and you have it on the screen as well. So I'll just kind of walk through some of the alternatives. And this was done through two board motions. Our board actually broke the alignment into two parts. So there was a motion that was specific for sort of East Tacoma, Fife, and South Federal Way, and then a separate motion that was really focused on the Tacoma Dome area by itself. So for the, this is kind of, I'll start sort of with the second motion, which was M2077, which is the board motion for Tacoma Dome. And the alternatives identified in the Tacoma Dome area, and this is the map on your left-hand side, was a preferred alternative identified as TD2. So TD2 is now recognized as, by the way, we call this one East 25th Street West, but it's TD2 as the board approved it. And this is in the vicinity of G Street. This is an elevated alignment and station. And by the way, all stations and alignments are pretty much elevated. All stations are elevated in this Tacoma Dome area. Options in this particular area also include to study alternatives that we call TD3, and that one's in the vicinity of East 25th east of G Street. And TD2 and TD3 are basically almost across the street from each other, very close proximity in the area of Freight House Square. Additionally, our board asked us to look at a TD4 East End Street, and this is at 26th Street. And they asked us to do a couple of other things as well. So they wanted us to look at an option that we are now calling Close to Sounder. And this is an option that's similar to what the Planning Commission also suggested in their scoping letter, which is to try to minimize impacts as much as possible, particularly in this area. So this Close to Sounder alternative tries to get away from the street frontage and tries as possible to try to follow the existing Sounder corridor through this area. And so there's an additional station alternative. It's not identified on this screen here, but it's one that we are evaluating as well. Again, that's going to be Close to Sounder. The other thing that our board asked us to look at was for TD4 East is to look at that one actually moving a little bit closer to D Street. So the alternatives that we're looking at are really close to D Street to the point of straddling, sort of going over D Street as well. So that's something that we're looking at as well. Our board asked us to recognize that the Tacoma Dome area is a regional multimode hub. So they asked us to work closely with the city of Tacoma, with the Puyallup tribe and the local transit agencies, as well as Amtrak, the city's TOD advisory group, and other stakeholders to make sure that we have the highest possible level of urban design and create something that is a catalyst for transit-oriented development in the neighborhood as well. So staff has been directed to do that, and that's something that we are working on. In the East Tacoma area, just to point out what East Tacoma alternatives were looked at. Really, there's one that the board specifically identified, which was ET3, and that one is in the vicinity of 26th Street in the area just north of I-5 as well. As you recall, we did not look at any alternatives south of I-5 in this particular area. The other thing that we'll point out here is that our board also asked us to look at an option that would span Portland Avenue, and we recognized in the letter that we received from the Planning Commission that that's another one that you asked us to look at as well. So we are looking at a design option that would span Portland Avenue in addition to the station alternative kind of placement that you see on your screen there as well. Similar to the language at the Tacoma Dome, our board asked us to work with the City of Tacoma, the Puyallup Tribe Port of Tacoma, and the local transit agencies and the city's TOD advisory group to examine to ensure that there is appropriate multimodal access, particularly non-motorized drop-off and transit access at this station. So that's something that we're looking at. They asked us to explore the possibility of a pedestrian and bicycle bridge over I-5 in the East Tacoma area. So we are exploring that as well. And so with that being said, I'm actually, unless there's questions on that, we did want to talk a little more in detail about this close to sounder concept. But before we do that, were there any questions about the alternatives or what our goals are for the EIS effort at this time? And I can come back as well if you have some later.
It doesn't appear there are any questions at the moment, so you can go ahead and continue on and okay. If anything comes up.
All right. So I'm going to turn this over to Tim, and he is going to talk a little bit more about this close to sounder alternative.
Good evening. Excuse me. Good evening, everyone. I'm Tim Bates, and I am the station planning task lead for the Tacoma Dome Link Extension. So I work with these gentlemen on a daily basis. And so, as Kirby said, you know, we wanted to talk a little bit more about this close to sounder alternative, because as you may have gathered, it's really the only new thing, really wholly new thing, that our board has asked us to do as we've gone into the EIS process, right? So we've had a couple of other tweaks to a few of the stations, you know, shifting this way and that, but this close to sounder is really new. And so one of the things that we wanted to do as we sort of quickly had to get up to speed on what this actually meant in terms of what the design could be for a close to sounder alternative was to kind of, as I've said to a few folks, go back to basics and think about some guiding principles for this station and this, in really all of the stations here in Tacoma Dome in particular, because it really is a special station for the South Sound, right? It's our big regional hub, brings all of the sound transit modes together. So that's why you've on the screen here, you've got this sort of recap of what the board has asked us, right? So examining options for alignment and station close to the sounder corridor. And really, I think we just wanted to highlight for you that our approach to do this was to start with the guiding principles. We really based largely on City Council's resolution from June, right? They had talked on a number of pages about goals and ideas for how the two stations, really, Tacoma Dome and East Tacoma, or what their thoughts on those two stations would be. And so there was a lot of good material there for us to draw into these guiding principles. So that's where we started, and we've also sort of augmented with what we've heard from the community as well. So what we're going to do today is just sort of talk through the principles that we've put together. We're happy to talk about them, take your feedback on them. We've got some feedback you'll see from a variety of other groups in the city. And then, you know, as we go forward, we'll be able to use these to help us think about the alternative and actually all of the Tacoma Dome alternatives and think about them in comparison to one another. So tonight we'll talk about the principles, and then I think we'll be back again to talk in more depth about the, you know, what we actually are able to come up with for the design. Okay. It's backwards. There it is. Okay. that's a right, left-handed person. I'm left-handed. It should work fine. Okay, so the guiding principles. What we did was we distilled a lot of material really into three big categories, which you can see here are development capacity, creating a comfortable urban environment, and, of course, creating a great multimodal transit hub. And, you know, these, I think these take on special meaning for the Tacoma Dome, like I said, because it is this important regional station. So I won't go into too much depth on these, but we've tried to provide a little bit of a few key words for each of these categories. So under development capacity, the things that we're thinking about here are, you know, when we look at the alternatives, in particular the close-to-sounder alternative, what does that mean for us in terms of development capacity for the Dome District, right? This is a district that has been zoned for transit-oriented development. It's starting to see movement in the market, right? There are projects being proposed. So what will the alternatives have for an impact on that, right? And so that could be a physical footprint impact, or it could be an adjacency. So will this elevated station and guideway be right next to adjacent development, and what would that impact be? So that's sort of, those are sort of the two dimensions that we had originally come up with for this development capacity piece. The second category, comfortable urban environment, really, you know, can cover a lot of different things, but I think what we tried to get that down to when we think about this from a design perspective, right, because that's what our big mode right now is, trying to design something, to start fresh and design something, because we didn't have an alternative for like this in our earlier work, is to really think about what does it mean to have an engaging street frontage, and how can the station help support an engaging street frontage, right, in this transit-oriented district? And how can we make sure that we are creating an environment where there is great walkability and it's safe for pedestrians to move throughout, right? Because we know there's a lot of transfer activity that'll happen between our modes and just to, you know, people traveling in the district. So that we thought was really important. And then finally, I think we all have heard that, you know, there are concerns about an elevated station and guideway in terms of the visual impact of that on the street. As you saw, several of our alternatives are over the street. So there was some concern expressed about that in the community. And so I think we wanted to make sure that we recognize that while we may not solve that entirely, it is a useful lens to think about visual impacts, in particular sunlight impacts, as it compares, you know, as each of the alternatives compare against each other. Okay, and so finally, this great multimodal hub, of course, Sound Transit wants to create a great multimodal hub, and we want to make sure we've got those quick, direct, and safe transfers between all of our modes, with Pierce Transit modes, right? It's critically important. And we know that right now in the area, you know, the existing Sounder station and Amtrak station, and, you know, we know that having Freight House Square there provides amenities for passengers, so we want to make sure that we're still seeing amenities for our passengers in the area. And we want to make sure that, you know, people are able to have a comfortable trip for their transit experience. And then finally, that last bullet really is something that it's not verbatim out of the council's resolution, but we've tried to pull it in essence to fit it on one line. And really the idea here is to take this as a principle that we would avoid impacting Freight House Square, or if we're unable to do that, unable to avoid it entirely, to incorporate and enhance functionally and aesthetically. I think those are all the key words that the council used. And they referenced specifically the Amtrak project or the Amtrak station in terms of what they saw. I think they would argue it was a successful resolution to that. So we wanted to reflect that, you know, there's been a lot of work in this area, right? A lot of work on that Amtrak station, so we know there's a lot of history. We want to make sure we've reflected that as well. So then below, you can see there's been a variety of other suggestions that have come up as we've talked to various folks. So we've talked to the Transportation Commission, we've talked to the TOD Advisory Group, we've been to the Dome District to one of their meetings. So we've had a few people offer some opinions, and really, you know, you can see I've grouped them into similar categories that we've got up on the screen. I think they largely are in the vein that we are thinking. You know, I think what we will do as we go forward is we'll start to, you know, once we get your feedback, certainly think about how we might incorporate some of these elements into our guiding principles. But we wanted to reflect that we had been hearing some interesting comments as well. So that is my long-winded explanation of all these. And that's really all I have. So we can talk now about these if you'd like, or if you want to, we can also finish. We have one more slide if we want to do that too.
Let's do the next slide.
We don't have one more slide.
We don't.
But I will say, just process-wise, so we've been taking essentially this presentation with the principals out to a suite of stakeholders, including the Dome District, TOD Advisory Group, you all now, Transportation Commission, and getting feedback, which is what we want to do today. And then next Tuesday, we will be giving a study session presentation to City Council that will take this to the next sort of phase of rolling out some actual footprints and design that we hope reflects these principles. And then on Wednesday, our online open house for this will begin, so all of that will be public, so you all can dig into that, but then we'll plan to come back and present to you again once we have all that. But tonight is really about getting your feedback, answering questions, and getting your feedback on these principles as we're continuing to refine designs, and these are very, very conceptual, so they're really high level at this point.
Okay, do we have any questions from the commission? Yes, Commissioner Stanhope?
Yeah, thank you. First off, I'm glad that at least coming out of this last effort or process that the over the sounder or close to the sounder kind of rose to being one that was included and moved forward. In my opinion, this is an option that gives us a way to explore an alignment and a potential station location that do not have the same negative impacts that the TD2, TD3, or TD4 might have in kind of the public realm or right-of-way of the street and the experience of the streetscape. And so I remember back in the stakeholder group process and particularly the design working session, when we were talking about those potential impacts of an elevated structure and what that would do on some of the narrow streets that we have in the Dome District, and you know, this kind of conversation around, you know, where are the other kind of alignment paths that you could put something that are going to minimize impact? And, you know, there was conversation of below grade and cut and cover, but then this kind of rose as a potential. So I'm glad, again, that this has moved forward in this way. I think, you know, these are all great guiding principles. I think they're good guiding principles because they kind of point to the things that we see as conflicts with the other alignments. A guiding principle that I think should be added in the studying of a close to sounder alignment, as well as the other stations, is, you know, how does this station and alignment set us up for future expansion? This is one of the things that we identified in our letter to Sounds Transit in this last scoping period. And it's something that has been talked about in stakeholder groups as well. But, you know, we get to the end of this line at this point, and we know there's at least a track extension that's about the train being able to turn around and reverse the other way. But there's also the vision, and a vision that's, I think, funded with a future study for how this line extends further in Tacoma, whether that's to Tacoma Mall or some route that stops somewhere else before getting to Tacoma Mall. I think that's an important consideration as we're looking at these different alignments, and if not thinking through the entire future destination, thinking through how this alignment at least gets through the Dome District, crosses 705, and I think ideally how it would cross Pacific Avenue. These are really key considerations that we should be considering with any of these alternatives. The letter that we sent you know, identified that expansion being important, and I think it also identified that as we're looking at these alignments, some of them may preclude future options of expansion. Being able to serve the Brewery District or some other south downtown station location, I think would be ideal in the future. So I don't know how this ties in with the next level analysis, but I think it's an important step. Kirby, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't see any mention of this in the resolutions from Sound Transit to specifically kind of consider how this line extends at least through that part of downtown Tacoma, but what are the plans for doing that now, or is that off the table?
Yeah, so maybe Tim and I will tag team on this, but we are factoring in, we are taking a stronger, more engineering look at how we get past 705. So everything that we are working on in the Tacoma Dome area does consider how we can do an extension past 705. So just to give you just kind of one inside idea of how we're working this, we've had some conversations already with Tacoma Rail, for example, to understand clearances that we would need to either go next to them or over them and make sure we can still get under 705. Our engineering team feels like getting under 705. Our engineering team feels like we can get over 705 in a variety of methods, but getting under it where the visual impacts are minimized is a little more of a tighter window for us to do. So I'm saying all of that to say that, yes, we are factoring in how the tail tracks as we extend beyond our last station location will be positioned to get us past 705.
And I think I would just add to what Kirby said, which is, as I understand it from the engineering team, we still have some options to do that. We're still thinking about, you know, we haven't gotten down to just one way of doing that, whether it's over or under. So there's still some optionality there going on. I think, Brett, your point is well made that some of these may have different ability depending on where you want to end up on the west side of 705. You know, depending on the trajectory that you've headed. I think the study that you mentioned, right, so the extension is not funded. The high-capacity transit study, I believe, is funded, as you've indicated.
It'd be funded really quite late in the Sound Transit 3 program, but to kind of set up a future measure. But it absolutely, the engineering team, I think, is trying to leave the door open in terms of flexibility as much as possible past 705 in terms of what direction it goes, because we don't want to preclude future decision makers on that. So it's pretty, I mean, it's a good point. We don't mention it here on the station design principles, but it is pretty front of mind in terms of the approach and the tail tracks. So it'll be good to, we should call that out more publicly. With the caveat that it's unfunded, of course.
Any other questions or comments from commissioners?
Sure. thank you for the presentation. I've already seen this as I serve as a member of the Transportation Transit Oriented Development Advisory Group. So I've provided some comments, which I actually do see reflected in this slide, having to do with potentially integrated passenger amenities with the station. But I think the additional comment that I might make is that in the consideration of direct, quick, and safe transfers between modes, there always has to come some level of prioritization in terms of what modes should be best connected or have the most amenities associated with them. And that the guiding principle for that, I think, should always be ridership. So in the event that you have more riders transferring between Tacoma Link and the new station concept, the most amenity, the greatest protection from the elements and from inclement weather should sort of fall to that mode. But at the same time, we should also be cognizant of where Sounder could potentially be in terms of the scale of the service, the frequency of the service, whether or not that's an all-day service, and how that connects with the new station concept with close to Sounder. If that potentially is a larger potential ridership component, then that should be factored into the design. And that's all I have to say.
Any other commissioners wish to speak? All right, I think that is all we have to say.
Great.
Do you have any closing comments for us?
I think this has been helpful. Hopefully the principles resonate with you, and then next time you hear from us, I think you'll have more to dig into, because you'll see some images that at that point you could also get a preview of on the online open house, but then we'll come back to walk through them and talk about where things are heading.
I did want to point out just one thing. I kind of touched on this, but if we can go back to the map. Just want you to be aware when we come back to you, we've tried to simplify the names of some of these station locations as well, because if you've been a part of the story from the beginning of our process, TD 2, 3, and 4 mean a little more to you than if you're new. You're wondering where's TD 1 and so what we're doing is we are going to introduce kind of new names for this area. This is not going to be the final names that will be there on opening day, but it's just to help us through our design effort. And so what you'll see is in Portland Avenue is the new ET3. So we're going to name that Portland Avenue. So that's probably the most significant difference there. And then TD2 is simply going to be TD 25th West. And then TD3 is going to be TD 25th East. And then TD4 will be simply TD 26th Street. So I just wanted to make you aware of that, because maps that you'll see in the future will likely have those new names on them, and the TD 2, 3, and 4 reference will go away. Again?
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, we will move on to discussion item E, topics of upcoming meetings.
Thank you, Chair. Brian Boudet with Planning and Development Services. Just quickly in a couple of quick communication items, you see the topics on your agenda for the next one, and it was obviously just referred to that Sound Transit will be back at your next meeting to talk in more detail about particularly the close to Sounder option. So I just realized I'm curious to see what that'll be. TD CAT, I don't know. We'll see what moniker they come up for that one. So I'll be interested. And I'll just make quick note to Commissioner Karn's point, which is a really good one, about the prioritization of access. I will say up to this point, the majority of that conversation has tended to center around the highest priority probably being the link, the Tacoma link connection, recognizing that one of the challenges here obviously is the regional light rail system will never directly connect to the core of downtown, and so that last connection ends up being rather critical. But there's obviously lots of different connections over there that will be a challenge to weigh and make as good as possible. Is there a note about the joint meeting? I know that's one more meeting off, but is that actually solid yet? Okay, so I know there's been some discussions going on about a joint meeting with the Human Rights Commission and some collaboration. It's potential that is December 4th, but not finalized yet, right? If I'm saying that correctly. Okay. Just a couple of other communication items then. The Tide Flats interim regulations, obviously going through its next renewal process. That is scheduled, second reading is scheduled for next Tuesday on the 12th. The Tide Flats sub-area plan moving forward, and it has its next steering committee, which is the five-party elected group.
That's tomorrow afternoon, so we will see. That is a significant step forward in that the intention is for the steering committee to make a recommendation to the city council on the consultant selection process. At this point, the hope is to have consultants on board probably by the end of the year or so, and so that would then really facilitate a true public kickoff or the start to the process in what people will actually understand probably early this next year. So a significant milestone, assuming that things move forward as we're intending. One other is this last year's annual amendments included some modifications to the Shoreline Master Program. As the commission is well aware, the Shoreline Master Program, uniquely so in our regulations, requires joint approval by both the city at city council level and by Department of Ecology. So amazingly enough, in one of the fastest turnarounds I've ever seen, the state has already approved the amendments that council adopted. I think we just got word in the last couple of days. So that is a good word to the commission in its work and the council in its work as well, but that is moving forward. The Affordable Housing Action Strategy, quick note on that one. The council gets quarterly updates, and they'll be getting one this next week at study session. But as part of that, we were here at the last meeting and talked generally about the two significant Planning Commission-related items, the infill housing component as well as the inclusionary zoning. When we came the last time, we talked in particular about inclusionary zoning because we had gone to the council and had a committee of the whole discussion with them. It looks like we'll probably have one on the infill housing in about February. So I would expect that there will be some pretty significant affordable housing policy and work program sort of conversations starting up here at the beginning of this next year. And then the last one, which is at some level tied to light rail stuff, is another good news item. The Sound Transit Board actually right at the end of September decided to provide $3.5 million in system access funds for the Hilltop Link Extension Project, which completes the $10 million or so Link's basically streetscape improvement project up on the Hilltop. So this is something that comes at some level out of the federal grant that we got for the design process, which involved the Hilltop Engagement Committee, and all really tying back to the subway plan that obviously this commission put a lot of work into. So another kudos to the city, to the commission, to the community, seeing some of the continuation on those planning efforts. So with that, that's all I've got.
All right, thank you. Anything else? All right, well then, if there's no strong objections, we'll adjourn. All right, we are adjourned at 5:38.